From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
And they call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Andrew the Triforce Howard. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Folks, thank you for joining us. You're the most important part of the show. And if you are listening to our listener mail the evening it comes out, let us be the first to welcome you to May 29th, 2025. We are going to have so many interesting conversations here. I gotta tell you, maybe at the top, you guys, a guy did die in a possible kangaroo fight recently. Did you see
finally.
The news about that? Yeah.
No, I don't mean finally. I just mean, like, hopefully this is proof positive, Ben, that you should not try to PvP a kangaroo.
Well, research is ongoing, Noel, and we want to thank, oh gosh, it was either Stuff They Don't Want You Sandwich or Stoned Coyote who sent that in. And we want you to know, fellow conspiracy realists, that at first off air, Noel, while you were in Adventures, Matt and our pal, Dylan, the Tennessee pal, and I were talking about this briefly, and it looked initially like it was a possible heart attack that hit this unfortunate man roughhousing with a kangaroo, but it may have been blunt force trauma. So just things to think about with our kangaroo PvP conversation, which is, of course, the precedent to the viral conversation about 100 humans versus a gorilla. In both cases, don't do it.
Nope.
Agreed. Not a good idea.
No matter how strong you think you are, don't. Guys, I have some news recently. Mm-hmm. H-Mart has rutabagas. Mm-hmm. And they are looking good, and they taste delicious.
H-Mart produce is just a world away. If you're not in the U.S. or maybe not in a community within H-Mart, H-Mart is a supermarket, a grocery store with a lot of other stuff that is primarily marketing Korean produce and food, but they have pretty much everything.
Yes.
And I love those kind of stores, man. I don't know about you guys, but I make an evening of going there. But we do need to have a rutabaga mention with respect to our pal Dylan, who is on a wonderful adventure and will be returning in the coming week.
It's a root vegetable, right? It's a turnip. Okay.
It's a turnip. It is a turnip. It's a cooler word.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Well, but there are, when you go in H-Mart, there are other types of turnips, like white turnips.
Yes.
And there are also Korean radishes and other things that might trick you into thinking it's a rutabaga, but it's not quite.
Ooh, I like a watermelon radish.
Yeah. Gosh, man, why aren't we recording this in the produce section of H-Mart? Also, you know what? Their food court slaps.
Not bad. Good dumplings. Yeah.
It's amazing. Speaking of amazing, we're going to hear from a lot of dear friends of the show this evening. So without further ado, let's pause for a word from our sponsor. I guess that technically is a little ado. So with a little ado, we're going to pause for a word from our sponsors, and then we'll return to hear from you.
This is an iHeart podcast.
You don't need to use an oversized AI model for everything, just like you don't need to use an axe to slice a cake. Find out how smaller models can deliver the right results and help cut AI costs up to 90% at IBM.com. The AI built for business, IBM.
Hey, all. I'm Jamie Lynn Sigler, a mom, actor, and advocate. I know how overwhelming it can be trying to decide which treatment is right for you. I've been there. But you should know you're not alone. You can do this. Start with some research, talk to the community, and most importantly, don't be afraid to ask your doctor questions. You might find results that speak for themselves. That's how I landed on Kesimpta. Ask your doctor if Kesimpta, ofatumumab, could be right for you. You can check out the details at kesimpta.com.
With PayPal, I can pay now or pay in four. No interest and no fees. Now feast your ears on this prime cut musical meat. You can pay your own way. Don't just pay, PayPal.
Subject to approval, eligibility varies. Learn more at paypal.com/payinfour.
Finals, the most fear-inducing word in a college student's vocabulary. But a little extra help can make a huge difference. So from now through May, ChatGPT Plus is free. meaning no limits on all the ways you can ask ChatGPT to help you. Help quiz you on an entire semester worth of your notes. Help describe Keynesian economics with charts and graphs for a visual learner. Help design a meal plan to keep you energized through the week. And help land a summer internship when finals are finally done. ChatGPT Plus, free for college students through May. Restrictions apply.
And we've returned, and I've come to you humbly bearing two pieces of listener mail.
Humble One, farmer style?
Humble farmer style, guys. R.I.P. Rebel Moon, but the humble farmer lives on in our hearts and our mouths, because we're never going to stop talking about it as a concept. But this first one comes from a humble farmer of sorts, Buford, who writes in, "Hello, Ben, Nolan, Nat. My friends call me Buford, and I'd like to think that we are your friends, Buford, so we're going to call you that. As always, feel free to use my words on air if you'd like. On the recent, or a recent, listener mail episode, you guys were discussing sketchy gas stations. And by the way, guys, really excited about the stuff gas stations don't want you to know coming episode, where we will probably go into a little more detail about this very topic, which is the casino style games that are often found in what one might refer to as a sketchy gas station. Noel asked about those. This is a topic on which I can share some insight. I'm an IT tech for those sorts of games. I can only speak for Pennsylvania, where I live, since the gaming laws are different from state to state. But here in PA, we have some very specific guidelines we have to follow to stay on the right side of the law. First off, they are not slot machines. It is not gambling. He's doing it in all caps here, but I would also maybe potentially put those knots in quote fingers, which we'll get to. And they are not games of chance. They are games of skill. The skill is recognizing a winning move in tic-tac-toe. Something along those lines, but it is a skill nonetheless. Another key factor is that we as operators have no way of adjusting the odds of payouts. We legally are not allowed to have any control. Love what you fellas do. Keep up the great work. Peace, Buford. Buford, the gaming laws here in our fair state of Georgia are very similar to the ones you're talking about there in Pennsylvania. I think a question that I had from the start was like, what do you get for these things? Like, what, you know, and I think we talked about how you kind of get paid in scrip, you know, it's like almost like getting credits for the company store, AKA the store where the little gambling parlor or the little, you know, coin operated amusement machines parlor is located. That is the term used here in Georgia, as I'm sure is also the case in Pennsylvania. COAMs that operate under a specific set of state guidelines. And here's the breakdown for that. COAMs in Georgia are not traditional slot machines. They're regulated by the Georgia Lottery Corporation. I'm not sure what regulating body is going on there in Pennsylvania, but I would imagine it's something similar. Sure. And they are technically skill-based games, not games of chance. Businesses operating COAMs must be licensed. How COAMs work. Players insert money and can potentially win credits based on the game's outcome. Winning credits cannot be redeemed for cash. There is the key point there. They can only be redeemed for in-store merchandise, fuel, lottery tickets, and because of a new change in the law that took place last year, they can actually be redeemed for gift cards or other types of rewards that are redeemable at other places, like some of those gift cards you might see with like a Visa logo.
Wait, you can get lottery tickets from the slot machines?
Like, I think you redeem them for lottery tickets at the counter, but I see what you're saying, Matt.
But are they slot machines?
They're skill machines.
That's the thing, though. The term COAM or coin operated amusement machines seems very politically loaded.
Three lawyers got their Christmas gifts.
No right question about phrase. It.
Also, Skill Machine was my old street name.
That's a good one, world. Ben. DJ or MC Skill Machine. Kill Machine is also kind of fun. Maybe a little more on the metal side. But here in Georgia, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation has a wing called the CGU, or Commercial Gambling Unit, which is dedicated to enforcing laws related to these machines. And if you go to the GBI's website, you can find a little sub page for the CGU, where there is a number that you can call to report any sketchy gas station activities. Hey, I know, total buzzkill, guys.
Got an idea, guys.
Yeah.
Let's go in with some fellow listeners on a local gas station here in Atlanta. Let's you know, raise whatever funds we need to buy the place, then build out an entire room in the back, like a hidden room in the back. Everything will be fully, completely above board. It will seem crazy sketchy though. And we'll just, it'll all be to make friends with this group of folks, these regulators here in Georgia, the gaming commissions are right there. And it's all, that's the goal. That's the whole goal. But we make
to what end, Matt? To what end?
Well, that's the first step. The rest we would have to write, but it would be very exciting thing to do.
I agree with it. And I think Matt just asked, I don't want to miss this, Matt just asked the most important question there. The idea here goes that, again, to legalese, the idea goes into how one is paid or not paid, right? Or what the winnings comprise of. So like an example in Japan would be pachinko parlors, which have a long-standing organized crime affiliation. You can't, I'm doing air quotes so hard, wish, wish, you can't win prizes or money from pachinko, but you can get a ticket where you go to another, it's like buying weed in Amsterdam. You go to another nearby business and you have your little like coupon or ticket, and then you exchange it for stuff. That's how they get around the laws. And it seems like there's a similar bit of legal parkour happening here.
For sure. And I think the thing that really threw me, guys, and why I was asking some of these questions in the first place, the three of us recently had a chance to go to Las Vegas together. And I think it was the first time for at least two of us. It certainly was for me. And we, you know, we did a little hanging out on the floor, you know, we really quite fancied that Frankenstein, it's alive, video poker machine.
You loved it.
Yes, I did. That's okay. Maybe
I think the one who played it, right? I don't think.
I thought we all played it a little bit, Matt. I seem to remember you playing Matt That's Alive.
Okay. I'm the one who didn't get to play it.
I dropped so much money on it, and that's much money on it,
And then lost it all again. That's how it was for me, at least. I don't want to speak for either of you, but the thing that I noticed, though, at least at one of the little gas stations near my house in Atlanta, where I've seen these, is there are identical games as ones that I saw on the casino floor. Same branding, same like user interface. Remember the one with the buffaloes stampeding, you guys? We saw that one all over the place in Vegas. It was in the airport and it was in all the different casinos that we popped into. And I've seen that very same one in a gas station. And the distinction there, a slot machine, I think you just pull a lever, press a button, and that's it. With these, you do, there is that aspect of skill. I think it's as simple as just requiring you to make a decision based on being presented with an option, or maybe hitting a trigger with the right timing or something like that. Or to Buford's point, something like solving a simple puzzle or, you know, doing a simple tic-tac-toe. But the degree to which that is implemented is so minimal.
Sure.
It really is kind of outrageous to consider any of these anything but games of chance. The legal aspect of the companies not being able to determine the payouts and to manipulate anything like that, that is also interesting and does seem to ring true here. But I did want to point to an article that I found, and I'm not sure what this is called, Appen Media. Maybe this is just a press release that got spread around, but the headline is New Georgia Law Behind Surge of Gas Station Slot Machine Games. North Fulton County, Georgia, with legal skill-based quote-unquote slot machines popping up at convenience stores across the state. Some Metro Atlantans want to know how they work. There was this law that was passed last year. It expanded the kind of rewards that slot machines could offer players, inviting an increase of rewards-based gaming. Coin-based amusement machines differ than slot machines in Las Vegas and Native American casinos because they're classified as skill-based games according to state law. State statute defines two types of coin-based amusement machines. Class A ones, like typical arcade games, kiddie rides, and pool tables, do not allow players to carry over points after a play or game. Class B coin-based amusement machines are also games of skill that may allow a successful player to carry over points won on one play to a subsequent play. For retailers, the licensing for Class B machine is 400% more than Class A machines, y'all. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that?
It's a vice tax.
I mean, it sure is, but why? I mean, it doesn't it seem to acknowledge that the B types are going to inherently be more lucrative?
I would say so. You also want to increase the barrier of entry, right? I don't know. Still, like, I'm divided on this. I know there are people who have struggled with serious gambling issues. We do know, in full disclosure, that games of chance like the lottery have done a lot for education in Georgia, specifically through things like the HOPE program, wherein proceeds from the lottery helped people access education that they may not have been able to access otherwise. So I think that's cool. I'm a little on the fence about it, Noel and Buford, but Noel, before we go on, could I share a special message to Buford?
Absolutely.
Buford, it's great to hear from you again. You and I in the group had a conversation earlier where you gave us some great clarification on Juggalos. So whoop whoop to you, sir. And then also, not only do we appreciate this clarification, but we would like to on air offer you the newly established position of Stuff They Don't Want You to Know's official ICP/Juggalo correspondent. As we wrote to you and said earlier, this is a volunteer position. We understand if you need to pass, but if you are down to clown, we'd love to have you as our expert correspondent going forward.
Down to clown and down with the clown. Mm-hmm. Great Malenko.
We're rolling the dice on that one, just putting it out into the void.
I love it. So, there we go. Just to wrap this one up really quickly, in the same piece, opponents of this law say that in order to, it's sort of like, you know, winning stuff at an arcade, like to get the thing that's actually really cool, you would have had to spend so many coins or credits or whatever that would probably well exceed the value of the thing, the video game, or, you know, the giant plushie or whatever, the thing that maybe has a more reasonable monetary value. It just becomes an absolute wash. For players to be eligible for a $2,000 payout, they say, they'd have to play 400 times at a minimum. And proponents of the law, to your point, Ben, say that the best thing that reform bill did was to regulate and bolster the Georgia Lottery's education revenue. And he thinks that the state may get the funding for universal pre-K as a result. And that program that we're talking about here has generated billions of dollars, $28.3 billion since 1992, when Governor Zell Miller, was kind of spearheaded that whole initiative of the Georgia Lottery. So, yeah, I'm with you, Ben. It is a mixed bag, but it does feel like those Class B machines are the ones that very much would be the same user interfaces as, like, the types of proper gambling machines that you'd see in Vegas. And when you start giving people the ability to take their winnings outside of the kind of contained ecosystem of just like a particular gas station, it does start to feel a little more like a workaround for cash payouts and have the potential to be triggering and potentially detrimental for folks that are just chasing those payouts.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Well, we're going to move on from that one, thanks, Buford, to a real quick one that is a nice companion to an episode that we've got coming up about a little kissing cousin of Bigfoot that's been making waves in China. This one comes to us from Have My Farts Be Stankin'. Yeah, that's what it says. Self-proclaimed of the micronation of Tutti Frutti Land, pending. There we go. Said it. This is what they have to say. Hey, all, I came across some local stories that you might be interested in. The links are below, and they link just to a couple of cool cryptid stories. The Shunka Warakan creature is a new one for me. There was a trend in this region where people made weird taxidermy pranks like the jackalope. I kind of lean towards that theory, but it's kind of a cool creature. Maybe we could cross the new direwolf babies with this thing and have a totally new beast. So he links to an article from Atlas Obscura. Beware Montana's Shunka Warakan, the Rocky Mountain hyena. Bit of a chupacabra type fellow. Is this one of these crafty cryptids on display in a small museum? So let's just go into the piece there in Atlas Obscura by J.W. Ocker. Something has been preying on domesticated animals across the plains of Montana for centuries. It has been given many names over the years below, most of which burn angry red squiggly lines when typed into Microsoft Word. Shunka Warakan, Ringdocus, Gyasticutus, but also it's been called the Beast and the Rocky Mountain Hyena. In fact, any name but Wolf, although the creator could easily be called a wolf. Perhaps that's because wolves were extinct in the state for about half of the 20th century, but that's a blip in the Shunka Warakan's reign of terror. Wherever they are known to attack dogs and cows and sheep and anything else served up on a fenced-in platter. If only we had a carcass, we could figure out what this creature is once and for all. There it is. Show us the body. You know, where's the carcass? We never really find one of those. So that's an interesting one, probably one we could maybe add to a future cryptids you don't know about episode. Then Farts Be Stankin' goes on to talk about another topic. We had some interesting discussions at family gatherings for graduations this weekend. My grandparents still live near where these mutilations happened. My mom brought up the topic this weekend, which prompted a dramatic eye roll from my dad. These kinds of mysteries are right up my alley, though, so I thought I would share this one with y'all. The article mentioned a theory that one group of people was traveling around using a helicopter to do bizarre things to cows. Were there any veterinarians recruited for Operation Paperclip? My theory is either doctors researching face transplants or a bored millionaire with a helicopter might be responsible. Thank goodness for TikTok dances releasing some more positive creative energy from people. Well, thanks for the good show and hours of entertainment. Have my farts been stinking, self-proclaimed of the micronation of 2D Fruity Land. And the second piece that they linked to, cattle mutilations across Wyoming and the West in 1970s, still a mystery. And in this piece from Cowboy State Daily, there's an excellent comic strip that's attached from UFO and Outer Space magazine, The Case of the Cattle Killers. On it, you see some humble farmers pointing to these dead cow carcasses, and this one dude asking the question we're all asking: what could have killed all these cows? June 1978, it says, a farming community near St. Louis. It was here that a number of residents first witnessed the same phenomenon early one morning as they went to inspect their pastures. Not only that, but look how they died. Exactly. These are the questions that these humble farmers are asking of their slaughtered herd. And trigger warning here, y'all, some graphic language coming up from this piece. The horror of mutilated cattle, cheeks cut off on one side, tongues missing, sexual organs removed, bloodless carcasses, and no visible signs of predation made big, bold headlines across Wyoming and the West in the mid-1970s. Wyoming had reports of cattle mutilation in Newcastle, in the Bridger Valley, in Uinta County, and in Sublette County. There were mutilated horses in Meeteetse and Carbon County. 2 years later, there was a report of a heifer outside Casper found dead under similar circumstances. In the years immediately after the Vietnam War and Watergate, suspects included the U.S. military, who some surmise were conducting experiments or collecting tissue, satanic cults, of course, Adult Chestnut, or UFO visitations. It's a great read, actually, if you want to check it out. Cowboy State Daily. This is by Dave Killingbeck. Really, really cool, well-researched piece, kind of an oral history of a lot of these cattle mutilation stories. So it's still, the jury is definitely still out, but I'm liking your theories about weird roving surgeons researching. You know, it's almost like the whole Resurrection Man theory of Benjamin Franklin, you know, and all the bodies he had buried.
Dude, there is a recent story out of USA Today that connects both of these messages, or both of these ideas within Farts Be Stankin' or whatever it is message.
Close enough.
Recently in California, in several counties, including Modoc County, which is featured in the Unlikely Gems series on Instagram, there's a state of emergency because gray wolf attacks have been on the rise. Of like a lot, the gray wolf population is showing very little fear of humans right now,
mm-hmm.
and coming very close to, they're taking on livestock primarily, but they're also coming very close to the human settlements and appear to be, I don't know, just not fearing what they normally would.
That's exactly right, Matt. And that's certainly one of the possibilities that's outlined in this article. Another one that our listeners suggested is this idea of helicopters. And this is new to me, and it maybe is something we've talked about. But in the piece, they talk about evidence of helicopters being discovered, credible reports of military style helicopters in the area. And on one occasion, three in different locations. The aircraft were reported to have had no numbers on the side, did not use lights, and were only seen at dusk. There's a statement coming from the under sheriff of this particular county. It said this: we found a lot of rotor wash around the carcasses. We found the marks of the landing skids. That led me to believe it was something a little more involved, and predators wouldn't have anything to do with those carcasses. Birds wouldn't peck on them. We never had any incidents like that before, and we never had any after. If it was predators, why didn't it continue on? It just didn't.
Wait a minute. Are we making a connection to Buford and the helicopter rides? of the gathering.
Exactly. Last thing, in 1975, September of 1975, the Colorado Springs Gazette Telegraph reported that El Paso County Under Sheriff Gary Gibbs pointed to another possibility of a satanic cult, referring to nomadic people being responsible. In the past 2 years, we've found evidence of similar happenings in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, and Wyoming. This isn't a small group. There are several thousand members across the country. This undersheriff seems pretty sure of himself. Some people laugh at the idea, but we have been working very hard on the problem, and we have definite evidence. We want to catch those people because we don't know what they'll do when they tire of mutilating cows.
Whoa.
They were referred to state crime labs, but apparently the crime labs refused to get involved. Said here, I heard from other sheriff offices that that was the case that they were running up against in all of our states. And yeah, it goes on a whole section about FBI file and the Predator conclusion not being particularly valid. So, boy, oh boy, this is a cool read. Do check that one out. Dave Killingbeck, CowboyStateDaily.com. Y'all, that's all I got for this one. I don't know, any food for thought to leave the listeners with, Ben, about cattle mutilations? Do you have any pet theories?
I'll go ahead and save them for an episode. I agree with you, Half Mike. This is something that we would love to continue, and I think that's a great point about a new iteration of cryptids you've never heard of. Please check out those episodes if you haven't yet.
Awesome. We're going to take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, and full disclosure, y'all, I have to take off for an appointment. So if you don't hear me, that's why. But I know you're going to get some excellent listener mails from Matt and Ben.
Great solos don't make a symphony in music or AI. Get AI that's in tune with your business at IBM.com. The AI built for business, IBM.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabe. Anabe is the only machine washable sofa, inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. And now's the perfect time to upgrade during the Memorial Day sale. Get up to 60% off site-wide. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slipcovers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com to save big this Memorial Day. Backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Don't miss the Memorial Day sale. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Oh, tasty high note. Oh, hi, don't mind me. I'm practicing my new baritone sax. I just heard PayPal's paying for people's stuff every day for 100 days, and there's 10 million up for grabs. All you have to do is use PayPal checkout online. So there's never been a better time to buy a few things off the old wish list. Like this leaf blower!
PayPal can pay for your purchase. The Great PayPal Checkout.
No purchase necessary ends July 18th. See official rules at paypal.com/thegreatpaypalcheckout/terms. Participating merchants only must use PayPal Checkout online. Coverage of up to $100 and eligible purchases per card.
When you sit behind the wheel of the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X, you'll feel like the entire world is your playground. And you'd be right, because this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, the all-new Armada is powerful enough to take you anywhere. With its 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, it will let you bring all your toys along. And with seating for eight, your whole crew can join you. Nissan created a truly capable vehicle in the all-new Armada. In fact, it's the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge, which Nissan reserves for its most adventure-ready vehicles. The Armada is a big SUV designed and built for big adventures. It must be experienced to be appreciated. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
And we've returned, and we are jumping to the phone lines. First person we're going to shout out here is Mohawk Mick. Mohawk sent us a message a little while back. He has been working the, I'm not going to play this message, but he's been working the gathering of the Juggalos since 2013. And Ben, he said he has firsthand experience with the helicopter ride. And he said,
"Oh, beautiful."
He said, "It's epic."
I imagine so. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Mohawk Nick.
But he sent us another message just after listening to our episode where we mentioned the Gathering of the Juggalos, which is happening, by the way, on August 13th through the 16th of this year in Thornville, Ohio, if you're interested. We were talking about adding a low to the ends of things, just in to reference them while you are at the gathering or if you are a self-identifying juggalo. So here's Mohawk Mick's quick message.
I'm sorry, I had interrupted the playing of the podcast to leave my last message. Mohawk Mick, again, just so you know, that would be a mermalo. It would officially be a mermalo. And yes, we are so lame that we add a low to many things. I caught a fishalo. If you ride a bike, you're a bike-a-lo. So it goes on and on. As outrageous as you think that gets, it gets there. We are simple folk. Very simple folk.
I love it. I love it. The future of humble farmers. Thank you, Mohawk Mick.
Well, there you go. Good information from Mohawk Mick, another of our representatives in the Juggalo community. Let's jump to a message sent to us by KP. It's a short one. But it's a good one.
I remember this one.
Gentlemen, this is KP. You have my permission to use my voicemail in my voice. On your May 19th episode, you put a call out to any octopus that happened to listen to podcasts, and I don't think that's quite a reality. Do you think there might be some octopus that listen to cephala podcasts? Okay, I'll see myself out.
No, stay. You found your people. Or, you know, you found your show.
There you go. Ben, should we share what happened recently off air dealing with cephalopods and a certain song/musical?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. We're already running pretty long, but we'll give you the short skinny and it'll be like guacamole at Chipotle upon request. If you want to hear more, you can write to us. But we went through a phase where we were talking about, it was you and Dylan and myself. We were talking about the strange science put into octopus civilization and the possibility of extending the octopus lifespan, which led us on a bit of a manic phase to rewrite the first song of the musical Hamilton to be all about octopus lobotomies. And if you want to read the lyrics, write to us and we'll share them with you.
Oh, just do a little. Can you give us a taste?
Sure. So for anybody who knows the first song of Hamilton, this will maybe make sense. If you don't, thanks for hanging out with us. It goes, octopus lobotomy. I'm an octopus lobotomy. People wish I had 1,000 arms. It's just these 8, just these 8. And it goes on, I'm a squid. I have 10. Blah, 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 blah. Like, we have the whole song. So if you want to hear it, or if you want to read the lyrics, just email us.
We should put it out. I'm just saying.
We should write to Lin-Manuel and be like, hey, big fans. Well, weird pitch.
Let's write to Psychopathic Records.
and musical. Yeah. And KP, by the way, hashtag no pun left behind. Thank you so much for taking the time there. We this kind of stuff makes our evening.
It does. And it's just fun for anybody who listens, right? I think so. So speaking of, let's jump to a message from Josie, who heard us talking on Strange News, a little thing that Noel mentioned about a whole town that got infected with the weed.
Right.
And if you'll recall, that message had to do with a giant deliberate burn of cannabis. And specifically, that cannabis was laid upon tires and then doused with diesel fuel and then satellite. And, you know, at least according to the reporting, that the following smoke and the smoke it generated got the entire town a little high and was pretty annoying.
And this is in Turkey, where people in that town are not what you would call stoners.
Yes, precisely. So let's jump to this message from Josie.
My name is Josie. I'm a longtime listener and I absolutely love you guys. I'm listening to your podcast about AI lovers and marijuana burning. Diesel fuel and tires are both petroleum-based products, which makes them oil-based, and THC becomes more chemically active when combined with oil-based products, which is why when people who shall remain me go to make their edibles, we dry the cannabis in a very cool, dry frying pan, and then we simmer it for about 30 minutes, sometimes an hour, depending on how much cannabis you have. And my personal choice is coconut oil because it doesn't have any flavor and it has a high melt point. But I have also used olive oil. I've used butter. Now, I don't know that I would use diesel, but it explains why so many people were high for so long. And I just got to do the shout out to Augusta, Georgia for Noel Brown. Spent 25 years of my life in that city.
There you go. Some information on oil and cannabis. And a little shout out there that unfortunately Noel has left, so he can't respond to that. Sorry about that. I don't know much about oil and cannabis, but that does make sense, I suppose. I recall watching on Netflix, there was a whole series on cooking with cannabis where they discussed some of the science behind that and why the fat-soluble cannabinoids and all of that stuff, they get released more efficiently when you add oil and heat to them. And that would make sense. I think we discussed a little bit of that in that segment, but maybe not fully.
Yeah, thank you, Josie. I especially love the line, someone who will remain me. That's fantastic.
And we've got one last message here from Hidalgo. This is a letter from home, if you will, but in the form of a voicemail. It comes right as graduation season is, it's upon us right now. There are people today, as we're recording, they're graduating from various places, various levels of school, especially here in the U.S., like primary school. Graduations are occurring, and even high schools. So let's go to Hidalgo.
Hey, you guys can use this on the air if you'd like to. But this is Hidalgo. I'm calling to tell you guys thank you. My son is getting ready to graduate from high school. And over the last 5, 6, 8 years, on our way to different sporting events for hockey and lacrosse and to other trips and stuff, we have listened to you guys quite a bit in the car while we're driving. And the other day, him and I were talking and you were on the radio and he goes, man, I love listening to this show. He goes, especially the weekly Strange News, because he goes, it keeps me up to date on a lot of weird stuff that I can bring up in conversations in class and do a little bit of flex when they're asking, hey, what's going on in the world that you're concerned about? He goes, and I'm not just throwing out the normal political stuff. He goes, I've always got something a little weird in my back pocket. But he said that he's enjoyed listening to you over the years. And here recently, he's gone back and has listened to the student loan conspiracy podcast, because we have been filling out a lot of that paperwork for his future and his journey off to college. But I'd like to thank you guys for at least entertaining us for the last decade or so. But thanks, guys. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, Hidalgo. And thank your son for us, too. Most importantly, congratulate him and wish him well. Matt, I saw this one, too. And these kinds of kind words in email correspondence or even on the phone, they just make our evening. This is awesome. And if we can help people in any capacity, then we're here for it. We also want you to know, Hidalgo, not to make us all feel too old, but since Strange News Daily turned into Strange News on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, the 5-year anniversary of our weekly Strange News segment is coming up. Did you know that, Matt? It's
no.
Next month. Yeah.
Dude, that is amazing. Heck yeah. We're officially, what, 12 years in now to the whole thing? And then for the show, hey, we got 4 years until we hit 20.
Mm-hmm. Woo! Yeah, for the actual Stuff They Don't Want You to Know as an idea. And then the podcast is a little bit younger. But yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Here's to further explorations. And another thing, Hidalgo, wanted to ask you about there. Are we on the radio, dude? Did we make it to the radio again?
Sometimes we are. Sometimes yeah. We play on the radio. But, you know, theoretically, if you're playing us through your car system.
Technically, that's a radio.
Kind of like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Hey, Hidalgo, it sounds like an amazing father-son situation you got going on there. That's a great thing to share. Because hopefully our show brings out some of the, I don't know, the curiosity in y'all, and to speak directly to Son of Hidalgo, sir, as you're going out in your journeys in this world, try to keep that curiosity, because I would say we have found that that is one of the primary driving forces that has led us to where we are now. So just keep that curiosity, that interest in the strange stuff, because again, as we found, the strange stuff is where progress occurs, where the science, you know, where the science meets the strange is where the good stuff is.
And for a personal message for me, if I may call you Hidalgo V2.0, then I would say we always use this line because it is a fundamental piece of everything we do in these strange endeavors, or at least the weird projects I find myself with. It's the axiom we were taught long, long ago. The world is both understandable and worth understanding. And I love that point about curiosity, because it is the prime differentiator between people we call good and people we call great. And yes, curiosity may have a diminishing return after a certain point, but like the old riddle of the old saying about the cat, you never know unless you try to be curious. And that is also the defining trait of all great science and all great inquiry. So congratulations to yourself. And again, safe travels in your life as you move into one of the most exciting phases for any human life. Congratulations as well, as we mentioned earlier, to all the kids who are working through the college application process.
Absolutely. And do, hey, for another little strange news thing to check out if you haven't seen it yet, search Wired and then Schrodinger's cat paradox. You'll find a new article about some really cool stuff going on with the research team in China and quantum superposition. Check it out, Son of Hidalgo and Hidalgo Father. Okay, that's it for this segment. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors for more messages from you.
Looking for an AI glow up that passes the office vibe check? What? AI that only knows the internet doesn't make sense for business. Get AI trained on your data at IBM.com. The AI built for business, IBM.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabe. Anabe is the only machine washable sofa, inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. And now's the perfect time to upgrade during the Memorial Day sale. Get up to 60% off site-wide. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slipcovers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com to save big this Memorial Day. Backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Don't miss the Memorial Day sale. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Oh, tasty high note. Oh, hi, don't mind me. I'm practicing my new baritone sax. I just heard PayPal's paying for people's stuff every day for 100 days, and there's 10 million up for grabs. All you have to do is use PayPal checkout online. So there's never been a better time to buy a few things off the old wish list. Like this leaf blower!
PayPal can pay for your purchase. The great PayPal checkout.
No purchase necessary. Ends July 18th. See official rules at paypal.com/thegreatpaypalcheckout/terms. Participating merchants only must use PayPal checkout online. Coverage of up to $100 and eligible purchases per card.
Finals. The most fear-inducing word in a college student's vocabulary. And as finals approach, a little extra help can make a huge difference. So from now through May, ChatGPT Plus is free for students, with everything from quizzing you using your class notes to giving you ideas on how to land a summer internship. ChatGPT's got you. Maybe you're a visual learner and you need ChatGPT to describe Keynesian economics for you with charts and graphs and pictures. Or you just really need a meal plan you can follow for now, and then a workout plan you can follow after finals. ChatGPT's got you there too. If you can think of a problem, ChatGPT can help you solve it. If you have a situation where you need a little guidance, ChatGPT can help you find the way. And from now through May, ChatGPT Plus is free for college students. That means you have no limits on how many amazing ways you can ask ChatGPT to help you. ChatGPT Plus, free for college students through May. Restrictions apply.
Thank you.
And we've returned to the final act of our weekly listener mail segment. We're going to go through a couple very quickly here. One being, full disclosure, folks, a teaser for an episode that I think will be pretty fascinating, Matt, and I'll see if you agree as we continue. So first, we're going to go to our returning aviator friend. We love having experts in the field, Fatigued and Flying. Fatigued and Flying follows up on a conversation we had either in an episode or I think it was Strange News about the recent terrifying failures in aviation here in the United States. Here's what you said, Fatigued and Flying. Hello, all. I'm sure I won't be the only one to email about this, but anyway, the article I have linked here, which we'll refer to in a second, is mostly comprehensive, but it is missing a few key points about ATC shortage, air traffic control shortages. This is, says Fatigued and Flying, indicative of the general breakdown of U.S. infrastructure we've seen in other areas. We need a reasonable overhaul schedule, which we do have. The previous administration has been complying with the schedule laid out in Next Gen. And here, Fatigued and Flying, you have provided a great link to the FAA.gov/NextGen. That's shorthand for Next Generation Air Transportation System, a large-scale FAA initiative to modernize the U.S. National Airspace System, or NAS, which is where the rapper gets his name from.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, listen to the lyrics, folks. So Fatigued and Flying continues and says, let's start by saying the current DOT secretary is full of it. Their plan to rush the schedule is short-sighted. Honestly, there's nothing there that wasn't already being implemented. If anything, they're just trying to get to those goals in an unrealistic time frame. Newark needs specific focus right now. And I'm going to paraphrase some of this for time of Fatigued and Flying. You note that the next gen schedule from the FAA is reasonable, and it's a schedule of some very important and pretty complicated time intensive things, an overhaul of a multifaceted flight scheduling regime. You say communications are a key part of this, but there are growing pains when you can't just pull a system offline. So you have to do this while planes are still flying. You have to fix the car while it is driving on the road, right? For another transit analogy. And this leads Fatigued and Flying to name a couple of other issues that people might not be aware of when you hear the news, unless you're in aviation. You say, along with the technological issues there, there's also staffing. The average controller, air traffic controller, takes up to 2 years or longer to get online, to become a working ATC from their date of hire. That's very understandable because by the end, they need to know every part of the sector they work in. And this builds in lag time to the entire situation. And then, this is a really interesting point, Matt, then you are medically retired at 56, but the FAA has built a guard to this by requiring you be under the age of 31 at the time of hiring. So unfortunately, to all our human conspiracy realists over the age of 31, it's going to be tough for you to become an air traffic controller. And then on top of this, says Fatigued and Flying, you have the actual ATC techs required to repair and upgrade all these systems, and they are woefully understaffed. Fatigued and Flying, you gave us permission to share this, so we'll say, we'll disclose that you had a navigational aid in your area destroyed by a tornado and just got alerted that instead of being repaired, it was entirely removed from the national system. And then Fatigued and Flying, I love the way you write, man. He says, I fly airplanes for a living. I don't write stuff, so please excuse the rambling. 10-10, no notes, you're nailing it. My point here, you say, is there's absolutely a schedule. There is a path forward. Maybe just avoid Newark for the near future. It's having a rough time. Other controllers are reminding their members there to focus on mental health. And if that requires calling in sick or fatigued, ATC zero is a term I'm sure we've all heard by now. And frankly, if the airlines just cancel stuff, there will be no degradation of safety. It's much more unsafe to have an understaffed control facility over just no one showing up. It doesn't help that their own union leaders are less than helpful. The FAA needs to up incentives and support to get more folks in. Privatization is not the answer here for many reasons. All in all, it's a rough time in New York right now, but there is and has been a plan. Before we go to that CNN article, Matt, any initial reactions?
I got a little distracted there by the sign-off that he used, so I'll jump to that when we get there.
Copy. Okay, in that case, we are going to continue to the CNN article you have linked, Fatigued and Flying. You sent a excellent article by Pete Muntian and Alexandra Scores. DOT secretary blames Biden administration for air traffic control failures as Newark experiences more delay. And this is a direct statement from Sean Duffy that we mentioned in our previous weekly Strange News segment. Duffy does say, speaking to reporters on May 12, 2025, the following, quote, "I think it's clear that the blame belongs with the last administration. Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden did nothing to fix the system that they knew was broken." Duffy says that a Buttigieg advisor, in particular, Chris Mager, quote, "needs to spend more time doing what the American people are paying him to do, fix problems, and less time blaming others," which just logically is a little bit tricky because in that statement, Duffy is blaming others. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of a pickle, and it's something we see, you know, with a lot of presidential administrations. If you're in hot water, blame the other guy, right? And then if the other guy happened to do something that benefits your current administration, take credit for that. This is crazy because the biggest point is that the plan that the FAA has isn't being as widely reported. It doesn't make as much news as the various terribly inconvenient and at times extremely dangerous mishaps, the cuts in power and so on. We do know that the U.S. is reliant upon air transit and aviation. It's a huge industry. It employs a lot of people, and it affects the economy in ways that are very difficult to parse. With this, I don't know. I don't want to sound too cynical here, Fatigued and Flying, but I feel like you have nailed some of the issues so accurately in a way that makes me think a lot of them are not going to be fixed immediately until they have a further impact either on the larger public or, to the point I made earlier when we talked about this, on the people in power. Right? When the private airfields and private planes start having more and more issues, then we might see more of an impetus to action. Matt, the sign-off you mentioned that you said distracted you is, it reminds me of the old thing my biker friends used to say, which is keep the shiny side up, sign off Fatigue and Flying. And that, I think it's safe for us to reveal that our good pal, Brother Andrew Triforce Howard, is himself a biker. And Andrew, if you're hearing this, keep the shiny side up as well. Also, great advice for planes.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know it was a trucking thing, too. Keep the shiny side up. I guess the part underneath the truck is not that shiny. You don't want it, you know, flipped over on the other side. But with planes, I didn't understand. I've never thought of it in that way. Specifically, it's advice basically for a pilot to don't do anything in between leveling off your plane. And maybe I'm wrong there. You'll have to let us know, Fatigued and Flying, if that's what it means. Just the idea of if you're in a climb, don't do a bunch of other stuff before you level off the plane, then do that kind of, you know, the needful other things that you have to do inside the cockpit, all the navigation stuff, all the, you know, connecting up with other people and communicating. Go ahead and level that plane off, then do that stuff. Keep the shiny side up.
Mm-hmm. Always fantastic advice. From there, we're going to, we'll include it. I know we're running long, but I want to include this message from Frosty Cold. I think it could inspire, again, a fascinating episode, either here or on Ridiculous History. I'd love your thoughts, Matt. Frosty Cold 1, number 1. You write to us and you say, "Hello, stuff they don't want you to know. They call me Frosty Cold 1. Well, you know what? We will too. You continue. I was wondering if you could look into what happened to the missing Fabergé eggs of the original 69 eggs created by the House of Fabergé in Tsarist Russia. 6 of the imperial eggs are still lost. These eggs, as well as the jewelry surprises that were made with them, would be worth an absolute fortune today, but I can't find much information on them. Can you help? Thanks again. Love the show. Frosty Cold One. Well, we could introduce all of our fellow conspiracy realists to the concept, and then hopefully we can do an episode on this, because Matt, I don't know about you, I don't know about Andrew, but I always found just the concept of Fabergé eggs so freaking weird. It's so weird.
Well, it's such a common trope in mm-hmm. films, just use the term Fabergé eggs, mm-hmm. or even a Fabergé egg that you're not even really sure what it is. It looks like a jewel encrusted egg. What is that? But it's huge. Why is it there? Why is it important? I knew nothing of the history until we got this communication and went down a bit of a rabbit hole about how they were created, when they were created, why they were created, and then how many are still missing.
Right, right. And my go-to pop culture reference for this is always going to be Krusty the Clown in The Simpsons, when he talks about his debilitating addiction to Fabergé eggs, which ruined his, you know, the financial side of his career. Fabergé eggs are bejeweled, encrusted eggs. They were first made in St. Petersburg, Russia. We know, you know, Frosty Cold, you nailed it, Frosty Cold One. 69 were made, as many as we know of, right? And from there sprang countless imitations, right, and reproductions. But the ones that were originally made, 61 of those are still known to have survived. So the other 8 are lost or destroyed. And usually when something of this opulence or this value is considered lost or destroyed, there's a high, I want to be fair, there's a non-zero likelihood that they're in a very wealthy person's private collection. You know what I mean? There's somewhere in like a sheik's compound.
Ooh. Or
there's a Russian oligarch who's like, this is my egg.
Well, in 2022, they found one of these things on a Russian oligarch's super yacht, a $300 million yacht. They found one of these things hidden.
Yeah, exactly. This means that there is an active search for these eggs. I think it would make a good episode, Matt. I'd love to do this one together, because to me, I'll spare us the personal anecdotes, but historically, always my immediate question, and I hope a lot of other folks' immediate question, has always been this: why would you make this? What is the point? It is not functional, you know, it's not a real egg, really. If you open these eggs, you see cool stuff inside. A descendant of it would be the Kinder Egg candy, or the Kinder Egg, you know, the chocolate egg-shaped things with the cool little toys inside. Did you ever have Kinder Eggs?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's another company that also makes them like that, but that's the one I think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this, so I'm just bringing this in because we want to hear from you at conspiracyiheartradio.com if you would like a show on Fabergé eggs and the mystery, technically the conspiracy, to hide them. Also, please, please, please tell us why. I don't want to be like dunking on creativity. You know, I applaud all artistry as long as it doesn't harm other people. But out of all the things you make, we got to find the origin story in our episode as to that inspirational moment where you're a goldsmith and you're making these gifts. And then you have that. What was your light bulb or broken egg moment where you were like, I need to make a fancy egg? I need to make the fanciest egg. And someone's like, Benedict? And you go, no, gold.
Yeah. All kinds of different precious metals and gems and jewels. Well, I think it's all about the surprise, man. You're right. Like, I'm looking at a wiki of these right now, and there's one that had an automaton, an elephant automaton inside it. So, like, really, the egg is cool and everything, but if you can get it open, and if you're the person that owns it, you know what the surprise is, but then you get to show it off in your fancy ballroom.
Your fancy balls room. So we're going to hopefully return to that. We'd love your thoughts, folks, One last thing, a letter from home that is also fascinating. Maybe we can have a quick discussion about this to close things out. Our pal, Mr. Stuff They Don't Want You to Sandwich, good returning guest of the show, wrote in and said, hello, Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. You always mention this specifically to me. I always mention you fell asleep putting on a pair of pants one time. I wanted to let you know that I too feel like I achieve this level of accomplishment every time I listen to my liked songs playlist and wonder why all the songs on there are bangers. Keep on keeping on and have a sandwich. I'm not a doctor, but I hear it can help. And this introduces us, Matt, Andrew, and fellow listeners, to something called the Hungry Judge Effect. This is the idea that in a court of law, a judge's verdicts are going to be more lenient after they've had a break for a snack or for lunch. And the idea that you're in a better mood, right? You're not you when you're hungry, just like Snickers said.
Well, that's human. I mean, I got 2 9-year-olds running around, and I'd say we know very well in this house what hangry looks like, what it sounds like. I know how I get sometimes. Yeah, dude, if a judge is just a human with a fancy smock, what do they call those robes? A fancy robe, and a lot of schooling and a lot of experience and wisdom and, you know, other things. But I can imagine how being a little hungry could affect the outcome or how someone else is judged. Dude, no, I've noticed that specifically. I just had a conversation about this, about how we've talked about how all the input that we intake as humans, no matter who you are, is affected by a lens. There's a lensing effect that the way you receive information can be altered and changed and how you perceive it, depending on how you're feeling or your past or all these other things that kind of color your lens. It's the same with a judge. If they're hungry, something might seem a little more harsh to them or a little more reckless, even anything, you know, anything that they're hearing about or receiving or even evidence they're looking at. So,
And the original inspiration for the idea of the hungry judge effect comes from this retroactive study of decisions made by Israeli parole boards back in 2011. And this study, you can find it online. The title is Extraneous Factors in Judicial Decisions. And it, you know, it confirms something a lot of people have a spidey sense about. You know, if you have a job where you have to work with coworkers, which most people have a job where they have to work with coworkers, you're probably noticing some of the stuff that Sandwich and Matt are describing there. This original study found that there was a natural slope to yes or no decisions for granting parole. It would start at about 65% at the beginning of one of these parole board sessions. So kind of in the morning, right? After people have had breakfast or what have you. More than half of these parole applications would be approved. But then right before it was time to break for lunch, especially considering people knew the break was coming, the granting of parole dropped down to nearly zero. So the authors of this study, and let's give their names, the authors of this study, Shai Danziger, Jonathan Lavav, and Leora Avnampeso, these three authors said, maybe they're increasingly favoring just the status quo, the easiest answer being no, it generates the least amount of paperwork, right? Maybe they're going toward that because they are fatigued. They are mentally depleted from having to do all the other stuff, evaluate all the other cases leading up to lunch and rest and replenishment, maybe a nice walk around the block or something. That restored a willingness to make bold decisions. It reinvigorated you, right? And you're not as hesitant to do things that may make a little more work down the line or may raise more questions. This gets cited all the time. It has literally been cited in thousands of other works, and people are still arguing about it. Some folks are saying, you know, maybe we should start considering algorithms or some version of quote unquote AI to avoid the hungry judge effect. Now, granted, a lot of folks who are saying we should use AI as a result of hungry judge effect, well, there are folks who run AI companies. You know what I mean? They want to sell that stuff. So obviously they're going to make an argument in favor of their narrative. You can also see other studies regarding Ramadan and how people may or may not be kinder around that time. You might, you know, this exists, I think, in the same rough sphere as the old folksy observation that people are a little bit nicer around Christmas. Obviously, the best real world study of that is Scrooged, starring Bill Murray. Remember Scrooged?
A real world version of that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Fantastic documentary. Be careful with that joke. It's an antique. But, you know, Matt, I recently, I rewatched the ending monologue of Scrooged, which is always seen as this pivotal moment, but it's very much in line with a politician's speech. If you read it instead of just hearing it and feeling the contagious energy, he's not saying that much. He's saying, you want a thing and you can get a thing and you can have it. It could be yours. It's Christmas. And then he kisses someone. He's like, that's great. And then Tiny Tim says something, spoiler. And I don't know, man. I feel like the Hungry Judge effect has to be real, but I don't know how far it goes.
Yeah, it seems like it's absolutely real. It's just human. I have not seen Scrooged in a long time. I will watch that monologue as well. I'd love to see that again.
I'd love to hear your thoughts. And I'm a fan of Scrooge. I'm a fan of that genre of creepy holiday film and fiction. You know what I mean? Nightmare Before Christmas, stem to stern banger, no notes. I'm trying to think of other creepy Christmas things. Krampus, not in that league, but still in that genre. What else you got?
Yeah, A Jingle All the Way is mine. Mm-hmm. Very creepy.
That's a good one. I guess The Grinch Stole Christmas is also creepy because it's got scary parts.
Kids are terrified of that Grinch, yeah. That version of the Grinch, at least the one that Jim Carrey inhabited.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a weird-looking dude. And they never explain why he looks so different from the Who's. You know what I mean? Why is he like their Yaren? Why is he their Bigfoot? Or their Christmas-hating Bigfoot? Oh, we're going in 1,000 directions here. We're going to pause. We'll be off to Noctivigate. So thanks to Frosty Cold One, Fatigued and Flying, the Stoned Coyote, who is the one who pointed out the possible kangaroo-related death. Stuff They Want You Sandwich, KP, Josie, Hidalgo, Have My Fart Been Stinking, self-proclaimed of the micronation of Tutti Frutti Land. We wish you luck, Your Highness. Or president or prime minister. And of course, thanks to Buford. Now we did roll over that earlier job offer, Buford. So I want to say it one more time so it doesn't get dismissed or lost. We love an ICP Juggalo correspondent. So let us know. You can give us a call on the phone. You can give us a good old-fashioned email. You can find us online where we are on any social media you might sip. We'll be Conspiracy Stuff Show, Conspiracy Stuff, or some derivation thereof. If you would like to use a telephonic device to put a whisper in some ears, then please do so. We'll tell you how.
Yep, call 1-833-STDWYTK. It's a voicemail system. So just like Mohawk Mick and everybody else, leave a message, give yourself a cool nickname, and let us know within the message if we can use your name and message on the air. If you've got more to say than can fit in 3 minutes, or you want to send us links, I don't know, attachments, anything, why not write us an email? We are
the entities that read every piece of correspondence we receive, and we do mean every, regardless of length, and, you know, keep the content clean if you can, but also if the pun gods so move you, then, send us some dirty, that's fine. No dirty pictures, though, because we do have an HR department. Join us out here in the dark, conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
With PayPal, I can pay now or pay in four. No interest and no fees. Now feast your ears on this prime cut musical meat. You can pay your own way. Don't just pay, PayPal.
Subject to approval, eligibility varies. Learn more at paypal.com/pay-in-four.
Finals, the most fear-inducing word in a college student's vocabulary. But a little extra help can make a huge difference. So from now through May, ChatGPT Plus is free. meaning no limits on all the ways you can ask ChatGPT to help you. Help quiz you on an entire semester worth of your notes. Help describe Keynesian economics with charts and graphs for a visual learner. Help design a meal plan to keep you energized through the week. And help land a summer internship when finals are finally done. ChatGPT Plus, free for college students through May. Restrictions apply.
Comcast Business helps retailers become seamlessly restocking, frictionless paying favorite shopping destinations.
Thank you for shopping.
It's how nationwide restaurants become touchscreen ordering, quick serving eateries.
Check the window, please.
And how hospitals become the patient scanning, data managing, healthcare facilities that we all depend on. With leading networking and connectivity, advanced cybersecurity, and expert partnership, Comcast Business is powering the engine of modern business, powering possibilities. Restrictions apply.
Have you ever felt that uneasy anxiety when the 4 p.m. hour strikes? The creeping meal-related distress that happens when you don't quite feel prepared? You know, dinner dread. Let's get rid of that unpleasant feeling forever with one word. Stouffer's. No matter what happens, you'll have a dinner plan that everyone loves with Stouffer's. Some chicken enchiladas or a cheesy chicken and broccoli pasta bake is always welcome, whether it's plan A or plan delicious. When the clock strikes dinner, think Stouffer's. Shop now for family favorites.
This is an iHeart podcast.